If you've got your Bibles, and if you want to turn to Matthew's Gospel and chapter 13, if you switch your Bibles on, if you use the electronic version, or if you want the church Bible there, it is on page, round about page 979. Yeah, 979. Matthew 13. And I'm going to read from verse 24. You are very familiar with these words, these parables. Jesus is telling some stories. He's trying to explain through illustration and analogy using some everyday examples. Try to explain something of what this thing that we call the kingdom of God is. Well, what is the kingdom of God? How do you define it? How do you touch it? How do you describe it? What's it like? What's its dynamics? How does it move? How does it shape itself? How does it come into being? And he's trying to give us a little bit of a feel for this. And he's talking to this group of people. And it says in Matthew 13 from verse 24, it says, Jesus told them another parable, because he's on a roll. He's telling a lot. He says, the kingdom of heaven, it's like a man who sowed good seed in a field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. And when the wheat sprouted and started to form ears, then the weeds also appeared. And the owner's servants came to him and said, Sir, didn't we sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. And the servants asked him, Do you want us to go and pull them up? No, don't do that. Because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at that time, I'll tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. And then he told them another parable. He said, the kingdom of heaven, it's like a mustard seed. If you want to know the size of a mustard seed, if you take a biro pen and just press the point on a piece of paper, the dot that you've got on the piece of paper is roughly the size of a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. And though it's the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. And he told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven, it's like yeast. It's like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked its way all through the dough. All through the dough. And we remember when Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6, he says this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, what's that got to do with us? We are starting a bit of a series. There is. Does anybody know what that image is there? DNA. Excellent. Yeah, DNA. Scientists out there. DNA. We're starting a series. It's around values, and we've called it Getting Stuck In. The words are Neil Kirk's. Thank you to Neil Kirk for that. And I think it's time for us as a church to do some thinking and consider together future. Things like vision and values and culture and identity, really, who we are, that kind of stuff. We've got to start asking ourselves questions around what's important to us. What's important to us? So Last Sunday, Easter Sunday, that actually was Julie and mine. It was our fifth anniversary at OBC. I don't know if any of you remembered that. Thank you very much for those of you who did. So 5 years, 5 years worth of grey hair. Thank you very much. That's okay. That's okay. So 5 years that we've been here. And some of you will recall that way back when you invited us to come over here and you wanted to meet us and have a chat with us about us possibly coming to work with you in Oakham, you asked us questions along the lines of, so how long will you stay here for? And you were asking us all that kind of hard stuff. Do you remember that, some of you were there at those meetings? And we kind of said, well, we can say 5 years, but can't really see beyond that at the moment. So we'll say 5 years and then we'll go from there and see what happens. And then suddenly we're here, aren't we? And 5 years has arrived and I'm having to rethink my schedule. So I've been talking to God quite a bit now about what next and what to do next. There's no queue at my door of other churches saying, come over here or there or that kind of stuff. So here we are, still here. You're stuck with us for a bit longer. But we've kind of done a lot, I think, over 5 years. If you think of that word that we were given from Isaiah 60 about God blessing the small place. So I'm just going to rattle through some stuff. And Isaiah 60 kind of talks about people coming and growing and blessing the small place. And we saw that as the small church in a small county. And since we've had that word, numbers have grown. We've got lots more families and children. We've got two services for nearly a year now. And we did the count last Easter Sunday. And we couldn't have gone back to one service. It's the numbers are just a bit too large for that now. So this seems to be our trend. We're a bit freer, I think, in our worship and the way we do things. We've got some relationships developing with people like the county council and stuff like that. There seems to be some doors opening and some things moving. We're starting to recognize vulnerable in society. We're still working with the food bank. We're doing things with CAP. We're trying to do some stuff with homeless folk around. So there's things that are changing and moving. We've even got technology in a church, in church suite, new website, all that kind of stuff, and we've brightened the building and so on. The other weekend, when on the Saturday afternoon, we did that Lego event thing with families, and you know, we expected about 30-odd people. We'd been pleased with 25, and we've got 65 here without advertising and publicity and all that kind of stuff. Christmas at the Victoria Hall, that was all quite exciting as well. Going out there, taking church out into a neutral venue. And I think what I'm saying is that there are enough green shoots of encouragement in all of that to suggest to us that there's some stuff happening and maybe God is blessing. Is that fair comment? Are you sure? Are you with me so far? Okay, that's all right then. That's all right then. But it brings its challenges, doesn't it? Are you tired? You look tired, some of you. Yeah? So two Sunday morning services, I mean, our musicians, when they have a day off, they're asleep in the back row, some of them over there. They're just having a rest and recuperating. Oh, they've just woken up. There they go. So it's more work as well, isn't it? More work for the AV and all the rest of it. So the title of getting stuck in, there is a game. We've got stuff to get on with. We're having a go, and things seem to be going quite nicely. We're getting some glimpses of some possibilities, and I'm really encouraged by that, and I hope you are as well. In that passage we just read there, in this thing about kingdom, in Matthew's gospel particularly, Jesus describes something of kingdom existence and kingdom behavior, kingdom practice through these parables. He helps us see some stuff that's going on. The parables in chapter 13 about weeds and mustard and yeast give insight on kingdom. Thank you, Michael. Well done. I'd forgotten to click the button. So let's just have a little chat just for a minute about weeds and wheat. they're growing together in this field. And there's something about kingdom that I just want to remind you about. A lot of people seem to think that there was one kingdom, and that finishes, and that's that one, and then the kingdom of God comes in and starts where the other one finishes, and the kingdom of God carries on. That's not what is happening. They overlap. They overlap. The kingdom of God has begun, and we are in this period here of overlap. The kingdom of God is here, and it's begun. It's started. And as kingdom people, we live now to kingdom values. We don't wait for some point in the future. I sometimes hear Christians talking about, yeah, well, I'll behave that way when I get to heaven. That's bad theology. Very bad theology. We start now. If we've given our life to God, if we've given our life to Christ, we are kingdom people now, and we begin behaving as kingdom people now. That's what this is getting at. There's a mixing. And we much prefer to have things clear-cut and black and white, but that's not how it is. Not for now, anyway. It's a bit mixed up. Probably what Jesus is talking about with this weed and this wheat analogy is there's a very particular weed called darnel. And Jesus is likely referring to this farming community that he's talking to. And these two plants, the weed and the wheat, look so similar in the early days when they sprout and start to grow that it's very, very difficult to distinguish one from the other. Virtually impossible. And you distinguish them when they reach maturity. The seeds are very different. When the ears mature on the top of the stalks, you can quite easily identify the darnel by its black, very poisonous seeds. And the wheat looks very different. But up until that point, they grow together. And it's only when they get to that fullness that they can easily be separated. And the wheat harvested and put in the barn, the darnel thrown away and burned and destroyed to stop those seeds from propagating again. We might even say that the fruit of the plants distinguishes them. Yeah? The fruit of the plant distinguishes them. The product, the contribution of their existence. And when we come to talk about values for church and for us and for OBC, we start touching on something about our contribution into this world, this community, this life, this kingdom factor that we bring in through our existence. This tiny mustard seed, this tiny dot, growing into a substantial tree that brings blessing to the environment around it. It brings shade and shelter for birds. It's tiny. It has this tiny, very insignificant beginning. When you begin with a mustard seed, it's almost so small as to be inconsequential. You can ignore that, measuring it by size. And yet that is in remarkable contrast to what it produces, what it grows into, this disproportionately large conclusion that this small beginning might make. And this imagery would have shocked many of the listeners in Jesus' day. You can't speak about the kingdom of God in small ways, because the kingdom of God is powerful. It's going to come in, it's going to sweep everything away, it's going to sweep all our enemies away. It's going to be huge, it's going to be powerful, it's going to be glitzy, it's going to be gold, it's going to be amazing. And yet Jesus says, it starts with small beginnings. It's not what you're expecting. And those crowds couldn't conceive of God's kingdom engaging in the world in such a modest way. They expected military-style displays of strength and power, not the inverted subtlety of a suffering servant, nor following the ways of a crucified Savior. And then finally, this little illustration about yeast. The kingdom of God begins not so much on the outside as with inner transformation. Inner transformation. Not so much of the big bells and whistles and overt displays of power, but there's something going on inside. Like a small amount of yeast kneaded into a batch of dough, and over time, active and yet not fully visible, it penetrates and it changes things until the whole batch has become something different. It changes from the inside. It's almost a parallel image going on of prayer here as well. And these are all clues in these parables to help us wrestle with the challenges of being a people who are distinctive, but who also are influencers of this context that we occupy, kingdom people. They help us to understand how God does kingdom building, give us some insight, his ways are different. And whether at work or home or neighbours, family, community, politics, wherever we are in our lives, these parables show there is no hiding from the local environment. In fact, it's the opposite. We are mixed in. Our beginnings look and feel small and insignificant by some measures, but transformation starts from the inside. A small amount can penetrate. If yeast is alive, it can only be yeast, and it can only do what yeast does. Kingdom people do what kingdom people do. Be who kingdom people are. And these parables kind of complement what Matthew has said about salt and light. So late last year, we had a little look at things like vision. And we had that passage up there from Proverbs 29, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. That's the King James Version, I think, isn't it? That's the old one. And we scampered through. So here's a potted summary of that. We had a look at loads of other translations. We start exploring the root meaning of those verses. And I'm going to get... went through some keywords. And we got to that one. We got to the extremely amplified, somewhat colloquial version of those verses to try and get to the root of it, translated by Rob Bewley down the road there at Kettering. And kind of the nub of this verse in Proverbs 29, they've taken their eye off the ball, forgotten what they're about, stopped making the main thing the main thing, and are all over the shop in what they're up to. Okay, that's what happens if we don't keep ourselves centered in a vision. Knowing Jesus, making Jesus known. Those were the words we came up with last time. And if you look at our website, there's a bit of translation or whatever, paraphrasing on our website of loving Jesus, loving people, loving Oakham. And those are words for us to play around with over the next few months or so, see what we think. But I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you, what is important to us? What do we value at OBC? What's core to us to live as kingdom people? What's core to our behavior and our practice as followers of Jesus, as disciples? What's our DNA if we cut through and examine the DNA, spiritual DNA of Oakham Baptist Church? Who are we? What's distinctive about us? What do others see when they encounter us? What do they feel when they encounter us? When strangers walk through our door, what do they experience? What do they sense when they come in here and meet with us and engage with us and experience worshipping with us? What is it that makes us tick? What should make us tick? What sets the tone of our environment and our culture here? Are you still with me? Are you sure? Because you've got some work to do coming up, okay? So I'm just putting you on notice, okay? What's important about us? I want you to take some time I just want you to and do this in lots of different ways, but if you prefer to think these things through on your own and do it that way, that's fine. But for those of you who are activists and like noise and talking, getting into groups and moving the chairs about, I'd encourage you to do that. That's fine. But I want you to have a think and start coming up with some things that you think are important to us, that are us. Things that perhaps we know we ought to be doing more of, we're not very good at, but nevertheless, this is us and this is who we are as OBC, as this group of Kingdom people. Be comfortable how you do this. I'm not forcing you to do anything you don't want to do, but I'd like you to have this chat, and I'll come around with a microphone later on and we'll record some of this stuff and see if what you've come up with is the same as what I've come up with. Okay? You're probably right, by the way, and I'm probably wrong, so this isn't a test or anything like that. So is that okay? Here's some things that... Oh, no, that's giving you the answers, so I'm going to go back. Are you okay with this? Yeah? Get into groups then and have a bit of a chat if you're comfortable in the group thing. And if you have visitors out there, please relax, engage with this with us, and God might have brought you here this day to speak something to us, or he might have brought you here to take something away with you. Whatever, but just... Yeah, have a chat. I've come around with some post-it notes and a pen. Like I say, I'm not as organized as I should have been, but I don't want to lose any of your ideas. So if you're shy, retiring types and all the rest of it, and you'd rather write things down on a post-it note, that'd be great, because I just want to capture all that you're talking about, any ideas, any things that you think are important. So please pop them on there. Those of you doing it the technological way and you're doing it on your phones or pads, tablets, that kind of thing, just email at me. That'd be great. But whatever you're thinking and sharing in your groups, let's try and keep the gist of it. Anyway, I'll let you carry on chatting for a bit longer. If I can give you another 30 seconds. Okay, so we're trying to get behind what makes us tick as a church, as a group of Kingdom people. Some of the stuff that's core to us, that if it wasn't here, that would be quite significant. Some of the stuff that's important, some of the things we value highly, that comes out in our practice, in our behavior, may not come out as nicely or as well or as polished as it should, but nevertheless, it's there. It's kind of DNA. It's got the fingerprints of God on it, and we're looking for more fingerprints, if you see what I mean. That's what we're after, aren't we? Yeah, sometimes you see something in, or you experience something, or in the presence of something, and you think, that's got the touch of God on it. That's got the fingerprints of God on it, and we want more of that, actually. When we experience something like that in our lives, and we just want more of it, yeah? It's these distinctives that, particularly when we read things like the Sermon on the Mount, we kind of, yeah, know that that's the people that God is calling us to be, and yet we can feel that things are pulling us back the other way, but we want to go more with God and move with him. It's these distinctives, and we want other people to see more of God in us. Am I making any kind of sense with this? Yeah? The right words? So these are the sorts of things that we very much want to set the tone of who we are. So what have you got? Don't all rush at once. You can't go home until you've shared. Okay? So if you're Steve, thank you. Can I test it? Yeah, there's a microphone. So Steve, what have you got?
Well, in our little group here, we were talking about how we can be encouragers and encourage others and ourselves to develop in our giftings.
Ooh. Is that good? Is that important? Are people of encouragement? Yeah? Yeah? We're for that one then. Shall I write that one down?
Yeah.
Okay. Like I say, you're not going home till you finish this. Okay. Okay. Encouragers. Anybody else want the microphone?
Oh, holy poor.
Okay, Eileen, what have you got?
I've got a list of headings here.
Oh, right. Here we go.
We think making children and families really welcome is incredibly important.
Yep.
For the next generation, and especially the teenagers. We're just saying that if you at the church and you're having a good experience up to the age of 14, you may continue. Otherwise, sometimes that's the time when they put their foot down and say, we're not coming anymore.
So are we talking there about making disciples of all ages? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Without putting words into your mouth, of course.
I have checked with the group.
Yes. Do we have consensus at the back there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So disciples, you don't have to be an adult to be a disciple.
No.
Is that what we're saying? I just want to explore this one. You can be a disciple at age 2 or 3. Is that possible?
Yeah.
Okay. And as a teenager, and we're saying this is important. So discipleship, making disciples, is an all-age thing.
Everybody
not just an adult thing.
Everybody matters, yeah.
Thank you. Okay, great.
Do you want me to carry on?
Oh, go on then.
We think everything must be biblically based. Because the thing that you showed, Steve, about without a vision, people perish. The last thing, if there is a vision, people go off and do whatever they're doing.
If you've got more on your post-it notes, Eileen, I'd encourage you to put it on the back here. Anybody else? Right, Steve, you've got the runaround, I'm afraid. There we go. Janet.
It's something that I've been thinking for a while, and something that hits me like a sharp arrow when, and I'm going to be a little bit controversial here, we constantly refer, or I must say from the front,
yeah,
we constantly refer to Oakham, what we're going to do in Oakham with Oakham Baptist Church. But, you know, I don't think there are any other Baptist churches still operating in Rutland. There used to be, but I don't
There's one little one in Langham.
Langham,
yeah.
That's right. There's the one at Langham. But, you know, it strikes... I'm sorry, Elizabeth. It strikes me like an arrow because I don't live in Oakham and I feel you don't care.
Okay.
It's nothing to do with me because
right,
you concentrate on Oakham. Could we not become Rutland Baptist Church?
Ooh.
To encompass the whole county, not just those in Oakham?
You want us to put that on the agenda for the 25th?
Okay. Enlarge your vision. Thank you, Janet. There's some more going on, right? Okay.
Sorry, just the point on teenagers and encouraging people to come.
Yep.
Our group maybe made a suggestion of more activities, maybe like a choir or instruments to encourage the teenagers to come. Maybe we might get them that way.
Okay, activities to attract. We might even call that, some would call it missional. Now, as soon as we say the word missional, we're on an agenda then, aren't we? This is interesting. This is a whole other discussion. We're on an agenda then. But what is wrong with starting a choir in our community just to bless the community? What is wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with it. That's what I'm hearing over here. So youth services and services generally for our community are going to be suffering more and more cutbacks, I suspect. And therefore, some of the burden of doing good things in our community might fall on people like us as volunteers in that sense. Is that something we should be thinking about? I'll just throw that one out there. Okay. Activities to attract. Anybody else? Andy down at the front here. Oh, sorry, Sylvia.
Equipping and encouraging, we've already mentioned that, but definitely equipping so that we can be out in the community.
Okay.
Jesus is the center. And Ephesians 3:10. No guesses for who this came from. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms.
Yes.
We're here for God and we're here to demonstrate who he is.
Yes.
A touch of considering church scattered as well as church gathered.
Yes. Okay, Andy.
Well, we were all talking about being welcoming and open for people.
Yep. Yep.
And I think it's a quality part of our blueprint that OBC has had for years, because it's one of the reasons all those years ago that Martin and I stayed at OBC, and I think we still have that reputation is probably too strong a word, but I think people within the church family would agree that we are a family, a caring family, a welcoming place. And I think it is something that is becoming more wider aware in the community at large, particularly with the way we've looked after Kevin and other stuff. I've had quite a lot of people come up to me and say, what a caring community we are.
Yeah.
From people who are outside OBC. So I think it's a quality that we've had and we've been developing, and it's certainly something that we shouldn't lose.
Fantastic. Okay. Now, you've all done very well. Well done. Wasn't that bad, was it? Yeah? Okay. Now, with stuff that you've written down anywhere on post-it notes or whatever, if you, I'd really appreciate it, if you just stick them on there before you go so that we don't lose any of this. That'd be really great. You've touched on some fascinating stuff there, actually. Let's have a look at some of the stuff that's came up on our lists. Here's some of the things that we came up with. Generosity and giving. There's blessing in that, isn't there? Giving money away for certain things. And so generosity and giving, that cropped up is how do we treat things? Do we handle things lightly because we recognize that actually God has given them to us, God has trusted them to us as stewards? So how do we steward our wealth? And we may think that actually we're not very wealthy, but I can compare you with places in the world, and actually we're all millionaires in this room. It's all relative compared with who we measure ourselves with. Things like worship. Something that I've heard when people come here and worship with us, there's a lot of comments on worship. Prayer. Are we a people of prayer? Where do we get our strength and vision from? Hospitality, that welcome thing. The balance of word and spirit. Word came up as well. Discipleship came up, making disciples. I put fivefold ministry up there because that's just one of my little hobby horses at the moment. But getting more of the prophets, the apostolic and the evangelist in church. Encouragement. Sorry, John's name has been left on there because John is preaching that one, actually. I took everybody else's name off but missed that one, so sorry about that. But encouragement, that came up as well. Being a place of encouragement and uplift. Yeah, you can bring your burdens and you can bring your baggage, but it's a place of uplift as well. And this whole thing that came out about loving and blessing, I put Oakham up there, but is it beyond? Is it beyond? Yeah? And how do we do that? And then something that was said to me was grace. Are we a people who have so experienced God's grace and understand what that means for us, and therefore we're able to pass grace on, knowing that we are beneficiaries of God's grace? You know what I mean? Sometimes the reaction when you see people or see behavior or see things is judgment. Judgment. Why did they do it that way? Why are they like that? Why are they living like that? Can't we sort them out? And there's this mentality of wanting to fix. And yet actually, grace says, I'm going to love you anyway. Yeah? God's grace says, I love you. I just love you. Are we able to do that? Are we a people of grace? And is that part of who we are? Is that part of the fingerprint of God on our lives? I'm rattling on far too much, but you can see that I'm quite passionate about this. So, the NKCV version, which is the Neil Kirk Contemporary version, okay, and he'll be here in a second service, but the Neil Kirk Contemporary version of all that is Neil's language is, let's get stuck in. Be the people of God, let's get stuck in. Let's go for things like spirit-led worship, lifestyle of prayer. I like that, lifestyle of prayer. What's a lifestyle of prayer? Making everyone welcome, helping each other be the best, helping each other be who God wants us to be. That's a good thing, isn't it? Helping each other to be who God wants us to be. Loving Rutland, I'll amend that this time. Loving Rutland. When the council folk came here a couple of weeks back for a bit of a meeting about homelessness and all the rest of it, they were thrilled about how many were here and at the food bank engaging with an issue that for them they felt quite isolated about. And suddenly they discover that in the community there's a group of people, and even more, they're Christian people who want to get involved in some stuff. That's blessing and loving our community. I think that's the last one, and I think we're running out of time. So I'm just going to bring this to a conclusion and then we'll sing together. I think understanding who we are now. So we've done 5 years together. And I guess what we're looking towards now is what we're going to do in the next 5 years. What we're going to do next. And understanding what we're about as a church is going to be important. There's one argument that says all this stuff is obvious. All this stuff is obvious, and all Christians should live by them. Except that we know that every church is slightly different, is shaped by its understanding of kingdom and the burden, the calling God has given them, has laid on them. The season that church is in, within the season of its locality. Our season is Oakham is changing, Rutland is changing. The town is growing. The county is changing into something else. What's our role in this? It's time to get a grip on who we are and what belonging to OBC means, what we value. And then, of course, we can apply them out there in the sense of church gathered like this, but also as the church scattered, because you take your DNA with you where you are at work, at family, when you go out there doing what you do. I really encourage you to engage with this series. Week on week, we're going to give you some comment sheets, and you can just pass your thoughts and drop them in a box anonymously if you wish. But we're looking to find out what you're thinking, what's making you tick, okay? Because frankly, if we're going to move into a redevelopment exercise and start doing something a little bit different, we need to be very clear about who we are in God, and what God is inviting us to do. This vision and value thing is going to become very important so that we're quite focused with it all. But okay, you've all been very patient. I'm going to invite the band just to come and lead us in some closing worship.